Hi, my name's Andrew Middleton, and this recording was made during an LTI seminar that was run by Academic Innovation on the subject of games for learning. Just a brief introduction before we play the recording of that session. The aim of the session was basically to raise a bit of awareness and get some conversations going around the theme of games for learning. What happened in the session was there were 20 quotes from an article by Joel Foreman on games-based learning posted around the room, and most of the session was taken up with people looking at those quotes and talking in pairs about ideas and questions that emanated from those quotes. Towards the end of the session we had a feedback discussion, and that is what this the recording that follows is all about. It's people talking through some of the ideas that were generated. A small caveat, apologies, the quality of some of the recording is not very good. The decision to record it was a very much a last minute thing, so just apologies for that, but persevere. There's a few interesting ideas that came out of the discussion. Let's talk about some of the feedback comments that you've left us with.
This is about transfer of language. People learn language in a better way when they go into foreign countries. And then the second part of the paragraph is about, you hear sort of children using phrases like, how do I manage my resources? Say 8-year-old children using phrases like that when they've been playing computer games. I've written here, children learners in general can learn use complex language, but do they understand it?
I think they can understand it very quickly. That seems to be amazing. About quite complex sentences that they do pick up. And when you do probe further, they can actually understand the context behind it.
Well, that's really a good point, isn't it? That you can actually introduce fairly complex ideas to people of any age, and that they will work with them.
I disagree with that to some extent. I see young children, particularly my grandchildren for a start, who talk in very complex ways with language learned from TV, but when you actually try and pick or unravel what it is that they say, they don't have a real concept of some of the quite dangerous things that they sometimes say.
And also that's rote learning, where statements like that, which they sometimes come out with, and it's got the right context.
I think that's the difference, because in the games context that we're discussing this morning, it's about people having to use them, because this is the environment, the active environment that they're actively involved with. So perhaps the regurgitation of phrases and words that they pick up in the playground or on TV or whatever, maybe this is one of the differences that games might introduce.
But isn't it going to be like when we learn anything, you try some language and you get feedback from your peers as to whether it's right or wrong. I can remember the Monty Python Dirty Hungarian Phrasebook, where the person would just make a statement and generate a reaction because the statement was completely wrong. And I suppose the environment about games is, it's the dynamic nature, isn't it? So somebody will use some language thinking they're meaning something, and if it elicits a reaction, positive or negative, then that either reinforces or it challenges their understanding of that statement. So I suppose it's the fact, if you get the game right and the dynamic situation right, then people can try the language, they can use their knowledge that they've gained, and then the peers, if they're working with in the right way, will give them feedback, say, yeah, you know, reinforce it, or, well, no, you've got the understanding wrong. So the rote learning, if somebody throws out something and it's obviously completely inappropriate, then they'll hopefully get some feedback.
Okay, can I just draw a line on that one there? Can we move on to the next one?
It was about, Gretna One was sort of saying, you know, we've got all this wonderful technology, internet, computer systems, mobile phones and all the rest of it, and yet we still seem to teach within the same four walls. What it says in there is potential to mix and match new technologies, i.e. internet and computer systems, with the old technologies, like classroom face-to-face teaching. Classic example, a couple of years ago, there was a decision made to scrap all the lectures, scrap the tutorials, put everything online, have a drop-in session. They weren't happy just using new technologies.
But did you change the way you were teaching?
They went back to having lectures.
Let's move on, and, if you don't mind. I want to hear from people not from level 7. Who's
Does playing games increase our capacity to learn?
Yeah.
And what was the quote about?
That was about the engagement.
There is the downside to games, and that when you say games, to me it says somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. That creates a very competitive environment, and if you don't win, then you're rubbish, you know, and you're down in the bottom half, and you're a failure.
It's more memorising and motivation to be able to get up to the next level. You've got to memorise
or understand
things and understand it, yeah, to be able to come to the next stage.
Sometimes games aren't competitive. Well, I had a conversation with you recently, and the word competition came up in that, and you said to me, competition isn't always a bad thing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Do you want to just explain, explain what you're doing with games yourself at the moment?
Yeah. In response to that point, I think the discussion was actually following on from what you just said about game genres and I think that almost just using the word games is too generic, and that it doesn't really work unless you are thinking about what it is that you're trying to use the games for, and then thinking about what sort of game you might be talking about. I think that the examples that I looked at, six and 13, and discussed, to me they're about immersive virtual environments where people take on the personality or the characteristics of someone who's existing in that world. So in the case of 13, then learning a language that's specific to that world, and talking to Peter, that he's quoting an example of Sheffield University, some people using a game to help teach forensics. And having that game based around a sort of whodunit sort of environment. In other situations, it may be like a business simulation game, and they've been around for a while, where the competition thing then is that in business you are in competition, and therefore it's a good thing to teach students that competition is part of succeeding in certain environments. In other words, it's not. So I think, you know what, I've only gone too long, but I think that what it comes back to for me is identifying what it is that you're trying to use games for in education, and then work out what sort of game it is that you want to create, and then to create that game and embed it in the general learning experience. And that's what I hope we'll do with the thing next semester, examples.
Yeah. As we've interrupted the flow of things at the moment, can I just ask for a show of hands more than anything else? Of anyone else who thinks they're using games in their teaching? And any one of you would like to just give us a couple of words about what you're doing? Or is it too early? Or Simon?
I like games. And I like competitive games, and I like the real, as realistic as possible. And the simulations I set up are, there's one, a second year one that I use, I've been working with Cadbury's, where they create, it's a case study type idea, but it's a simulation of a real world activity, and it's a game with using the internet and Blackboard, and it tries to simulate the real world. as much as we can get it. And I think the feedback that we were talking about is so important that a game can actually give you. And we've used it a few years, and I'm going to keep expanding and growing it.
Okay, so you're talking about a business simulation, yeah. I think. And, okay, so let's move on to this feedback slip, which actually point out talks about real life experience. Who's
Well, we're looking at Room 5, which talked about sort of using it to step into someone else's shoes, see things from another perspective and get into a different environment. And we said that that's good because it gives you sort of a real-life experience and you can explore different environments. And it can also get rid of some of the misconceptions that you might have about a certain way of life or a certain way of doing things. But we also, one big thing that we came up with was it's only useful if it's realistic and if it's accurate and you get an accurate sort of feeling for what it's like.
So we've got a comment upon the need for realism and whether it's actually possible.
I think that's essential. That's a challenge how to create that. And these games I think you're talking about here, I think the point about them is that you're being given access to information which you wouldn't have in your real life. So as a manager of a business, for instance, you're getting information, let's say, about whether you're making a profit or not, and then you've got to make a decision based upon that information. Do I sack some people? Whereas if you're outside that world and you're a person who's likely to be sacked, you'd just be disgruntled and upsetting. So, but to create that needs.
Okay, so there seems to be some quite good reasoning with regard to the need for realism. I have actually read, though, that one of interesting. Part of using games in education can be the reflection of students about how realistic they thought it was. Because if you start to get students generating opinions about that, they're actually discussing, they're starting to break down and analyse whatever it is they've been doing and making the comparisons directly with real life. So,
I think one of the most popular genres are like God games. You're never going to be God. Does that make it unrealistic? That you can people. But if you still learn something, it's still valuable. I don't know. So, it does have to be 100%.
Say something to that. I mean, okay, so you have this game and you may be learning something, and that's one of the problems I have with it, because you can only have game simulations if afterwards you have a debriefing to bring all these things out. So I have this vision that if you just sit in front of the computer, you do this simulation and then you leave it, you can't leave it, and that brings out the issue about language as well. I feel we can't just simply assume that someone has gone through a simulation. I'm God and I'm going to chuck volcanoes at you. Can these people who've done it say what it actually is that they have learned and what is it that they're taking away? So to me, a game can be a very exciting thing, realistic. It gives them a situation where they can take risks, they can see what the consequences are. But for me, there would have to be a debriefing, a talking through, a making explicit of what this learning experience was and where they could take that. Do you see what I mean?
Okay. I totally agree with that, because if you take this back to the younger age group, you know, the 8, 9, 10 year olds, whatever, they're all sitting there playing computer games and shooting the hell out of each other.
Talk about young children, I don't think you talk about young children here.
No, not here.
It's higher education.
Yeah.
And unless, you know, I was talking about shoot 'em up games, but obviously talk about shoot 'em up games.
Probably not. I think if we decide to use a game, we decide what game we're going to use. So, you know, it's not that we're encouraging students necessarily. You know, we're not saying go out and find any game and learn from it. You know, this is how we get involved in it, isn't it?
Because I think that one of the problems with having a discussion like this is that it's too broad, too difficult for people to actually focus it on how it might benefit. In this sort of environment, I'm sorry, it's not an attack on what was just said, but and there is a lot of discussion of that sort, but I think it's outside the range of what we're talking about here.
Yes, I was just sort of saying that there is the need for the debrief to make sure they've learned the right things as opposed to learning.
I agree, I don't think that. Mm. Well, I certainly would be advocating the approach and said that this completely replaces. Input
now,
from,
can I just pick up on this people. Thing that is maybe a baby boomer assumption, if you don't mind me saying so? I'm maybe being slightly generous there. Can we hear from anyone that actually doesn't agree with Gudrun? Do we need to debrief?
Well,
Well, you're too old, but go on.
I'll take a few years off. I just think that we're making assumptions about all learning here, and I think what we've got to look at is the purpose of the activity in terms of what we want people to learn. I think in certain circumstances we can define the sorts of things we want to learn in terms of requiring a certain amount of reflection. But I can also see things that will be reflection in action that's important. There's the processes as you go along. And actually talking about it afterwards might even destroy something that you've come to recognise. And I think I'm agreeing with Bob really, that until we break this down and say, let's focus in on one, it's very difficult to generalise because, you know, there are procedures you need to learn. I was responsible for a game simulation to do with restarting power stations when the national grid went down. And actually there was no debrief on that because people were learning procedures and processes and they had to learn how to do A, B, C, D and E. But it was set up as a game.
Okay, so perhaps, you know, this is where using the word game is getting a wee bit woolly for us.
But there might
be situations that is perhaps the point where debriefing isn't necessary, but I would tend to agree that there's a lot of opportunity generated from a lot of games to stimulate discussion.
That's a good thing.
Does anyone lay claim to this?
Yeah, just fine. I wrote.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we had this discussion about 15, which seemed to imply that that playing a game would make you make decisions quicker and more effectively, and it seemed to us that. Certainly that was true of some games, but some games the decision making was very repetitive and that can be banal for a period of time. So you get better and better and you go up the levels of the game, which is the sort of game we were talking about. But that could be avoided, providing the opportunities for making decisions were more complex than
that. But games can be used as a way to experiment safely with your assumptions. Test things out and find kind of what happens if we do this kind of experiment idea.
It's a flight simulator.
Sorry?
It's like a flight simulator.
Any simulation perhaps.
Yeah.
You can crash it.
It could be another experiment.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you bring up flight simulation because that's developing a totally different sort of skill. We've only talked at the moment about mind skills. Flight simulation is also
motor
skills, motor then, and I can see real benefits in that kind of game.
Yeah, other thing is, if you're very word-based, I think it's really practical. I'm a bit disappointed in your room, actually. We came here to play games, you know, and like, where are all the interesting things? So we're sitting around in chairs, we're not on our knees and sort of playing stuff. You know, it's a very one-sided way you have of thinking about game playing, and it's, okay, maybe you're trying to produce computer games. That can be used on the internet or whatever, but there are other kind of games which you're not playing and you ought to be sort of thinking about, because as Fred has said, other skills need developing. It's still too much thinking in the box.
Yeah,
that's where
you're right, and I think one of the things about the session is how do we get out of that box, and yeah. You're right to raise that point. That's exactly where we're trying to go, and it's early days for us. And I think perhaps, to wrap up and head for the coffee, that you know, games is, because of its multi-participant nature, gives us a pointer in the right direction to break down some of the ways of doing it. And okay, we could have gone further in the session perhaps, but...